Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello there, everyone. It is Denise Salcedo. Welcome back to the channel. I am very excited to introduce my guest for today. He is a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, former Impact World Tag Team Champion, and the final original ECW World Champion and Television Champion, yes. The War Machine, Rhino. What's up, Rhino?
Well, hey, thank you for having me, and what an introduction.
I was so afraid. I was like, please don't let me mess this up. Right. You know, it's one of those things when you're planning the intro, but when you actually try to execute it, it's a whole other thing. So, you mean 25 years, you know, over 25 years now in wrestling.
Well, so it's 27 today.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's my anniversary. Yeah.
How do you feel?
Like crap. No, I feel good actually. You know, it's just, it's one of those things, you know, you gotta, you know, get up and, you know, your workouts become more of like physical therapy sessions than actually getting in there and moving some serious weight. But, you know, it's fun, you know, and I'm feeling good. So,
well, I mean,
I'm really feeling excited about the, you know, being back in Philly this coming up weekend. So, yeah.
Well, let's start talking about that, because that was one of the things that I wanted to touch on with you, you know, going back to, you know, a place where you did so much and such an iconic building in professional wrestling history, you know, the 2300 arena, the former ECW arena. How does that make you feel? I mean, I know you've been there, you know, back since, you know, the ending of ECW, but kind of going back once again for the March 18th, March 19th tapings.
Every time I walk in that building, you know, it's definitely emotional, you know, in a good way. You know, the history, you know, even before I was there, and, you know, and the you know, the history in that building, and all, you know, if those walls could talk, and it's definitely great. And I look forward to going back every time, especially with Impact, because the production level is high. You know, and it's just the great talent that's going to be in there, you know, from PCO, he's got over 30 years of wrestling experience, the Good Brothers, Moose, I mean, you name it, you know, so it's definitely going to be great to go back there and stop at Tony Luke's. You always have to get a cheesesteak from Tony Luke's. Everybody's like Pat Geno's, but Tony Luke's is right there. So if one thing I accomplished this weekend is goring someone or a few people and getting a Tony Luke's cheesesteak.
I love it. You're like, gore, check. Maybe another gore, check. Get my food, check.
Yeah, Tony Luke.
But, you know, it's one of those things, though, like, given that, you know, you saw the arena look one way, and now they've done, like, all of these renovations. Like, when you go and you see that, you're just like, what is your reaction to all of that?
Well, it's great because it's a better fan. It's a better experience for the fan. You know, the ring's still in the same spot, you know. I'm happy to point out where certain things were, you know, but it's great for the wrestling fans, and it's a better experience for the wrestling fans. So, and then when you do renovations like that, you know, the place is going to be around for a long time. So, you know, and for other generations to experience wrestling there. You know, so it's, and when they go and they go, oh yeah, this is where I seen this person wrestle and that person wrestle, they're just passing it on to the other generations, you know, so, and creating new memories.
Well said. Now, obviously, one of the things that I want to touch back on is the fact that you mentioned that today is your 27-year anniversary in wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back and you remember like day one of, you know, your wrestling career, did you ever think that, you know, 27 years later, you would not only still be, you know, in wrestling, but wrestling period?
Yeah, relevant. And, you know, I've been very blessed because, you know, from ECW, even before that over in Germany with CWA Catch, you know, and that's actually where PCO and I first met, and we became tag team champions over there. And then, you know, going on to ECW, WWE, Impact Wrestling for like 7 years. And then I was with Ring of Honor for like 2.5. And then I went back to Impact just for a brief moment in 2014. But I was also doing independent shows. And I think that's why it's hard for me to put my finger on why people really love me so much. And I'm not, I don't want to come across egotistical or anything, but I think it's that connection from ECW. I think it's the connection that I do. The only thing I can really put my finger on is not just the ECW thing, but I love doing independence. And because it's, you know, you're right there and it's a more of an intimate feel for the fans because they can come up and see you at the meet and greets and, you know, and have a few minutes with you. And it's kind of like grassroots, you know, and then they feel like they know you. You know, and now that when they meet you, they post the pictures, you know, on social media, on their pages. And then people will be like, oh, I met him here. I met him last time he came through. And, you know, and I think that's what attracts fans to me, I think, you know. And plus, Rhino's an easy name to chant, too.
It definitely is.
So I think that's that connection we have, you know, and being in it for so long and being blessed to be relevant for so long. You know, with NXT in 2015 and then on the main roster and back with Impact for almost 3 years now. And it's one of those things where, you know, we have that connection. And, you know, I think that's what keeps me relevant, you know, after all these years.
What, you know, we talk about what keeps you relevant, but what do you think keeps you personally going? Like, what keeps you, like, you know, waking up every morning and saying, I'm going to go, you know, continue to put my body on the line as a professional wrestler? Like, what keeps you motivated and invigorated to keep doing this sport of wrestling?
When I see a kid come up to me with his dad, and his dad goes, and the kid goes, you know, boy or girl, because there's a lot of girls that are getting into wrestling and watching it as fans as the women's division keeps growing. And they say, oh, I loved your stuff with Sandman. Oh, I watched that hardcore match you had with Raven back in 2001. And their parents were watching it as kids, you know. So it's that generational gap that's closed because that's another reason why I never try to change my look or style or my hair color or cut my hair. Trust me, I the only time I ever wear my hair down is when I wrestle. And I can't wait till the day I can cut it. But I try not to change too much because, you know, so you never want to see your heroes get older, you know, so that's why I try to keep that same look so I don't change, you know, so they can, I'm that connection, you know, from when a kid went to watch me in ECW with their dad, you know, and then now they're taking their child to watch me wrestle in the ECW arena 20 years later or 22 years later. That's that connection, you know, and it's kind of like watching a baseball player, like, you know, oh, I watched him when I was a kid. Now I'm taking you to see him. So, and I'm afraid that's what keeps me going because I'm afraid there's, you know, someone like that can't connect the generations, you know, so, you know, there are people out there, but, you know, I'm afraid, you know, we're becoming few and far between as old timers.
Exactly. So what you're saying is that you've kept yourself very, very well kept, Rhino, because you mentioned the look and all of that. No, right. But I really love hearing this directly from you because I never really thought about it that way, you know, being part of someone's life and then going on to being part of their child's life now and kind of, you know, keeping that going. That's a very beautiful thing. So I think that's really freaking cool. So I do want to ask you, because you mentioned, you know, being in WWE and then coming back, I believe you came back like around the summer of 2019 to Impact Wrestling. Yeah. When your WWE contract expired. Now, what is it about? Why did you come back to Impact Wrestling? I mean, I'm sure that, and you can clarify this, I know there was reports out there that, you know, WWE had made you an offer to stay. So what was it that you made, like, said no and, hey, I'm going to go to Impact Wrestling?
Well, I was very fortunate that they were even thinking about re-signing me and doubling. But the thing is, you know, and I'm not in it for, you know, because I'm looking for glory. I'm in it to be in the ring with that younger talent to show them, you know, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. And I also learn because I never stop learning. When I was able to get in the ring, when I was starting out with Jim Brunzel of the Killer Bees, you know. And then when I was going down to do enhancement, you know, work with WWE, and it was WWF back then, or WCW, you learn something from being in the ring with, you know, some of these veterans, you know, and it bettered you, you know. And there's an old saying, like, you know, because I went through so many jobs before I signed with ECW, you know, just, you know, shoveling stone to, I mean, you name it, changing oil, because wrestling wasn't paying the bills. They showed you the little tricks of the trade, the people that were in it longer than myself, you know, whether it's shoveling rock, you know, because if you shovel it this way, your back's going to be out in 3 years. But if you do it this way, you can go 30 years, you know, or this, you know, so being a veteran, you can kind of get in the ring and show the talent, tricks of the trade, you know, what can get over, what can't, maybe go in this direction, or I can answer your questions. So that was with WWE, I would have been sitting at home more because they had over 200 and I want to say close to 250 people under contract, you know, and I understand that, you know, and I never wanted to be a focal point, you know. I would have liked to have done the live events, traveled with some of the guys, because you learn the business in the car, you know, traveling town to town and not even have to be on TV. But the thing is they wanted guys to get experience. So when I was only on the road once a month, you know, it was, I was starting to hate life, you know, and, you know, so I chose, do I hate life and collect a paycheck, or do I leave, make less money, but make more of an impact, you know, in wrestling to help other guys to go on the indies, you know, help try to find the next Rock, the next Stone Cold, the next Lita, you know? So that's what my decision was. And Impact was such a good fit because Scott D'Amore is the guy that trained me, and I seen, you know, how he's built this roster. I mean, if you look from 2019 to now, I mean, the roster is just, you know, it's a World Series team. So
that, I'm so glad that you mentioned Scott D'Amore, because that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up as well, you know, given that you broke in with Scott D'Amore. In terms of like him now as an EVP for Impact Wrestling, you mentioned how much he has helped with the roster and all of that. But I think it also goes beyond that, the fact that he sort of rebuilt the reputation of Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. So as someone that, you know, goes way back with Scott D'Amore, how has it been, you know, sort of seeing him rebuild Impact Wrestling and kind of just do what he's done for the company?
Well, see, Scott, you know, he's a businessman. You know, he broke into wrestling, he ran his own promotion, plus he'd work under people for years, Dutch, Jeff Jarrett, you know, and you know, so he's gained so much knowledge throughout the years. And I've learned stuff, you know, behind the scenes from him, like how to book, and, you know, and obviously when things arise, because sometimes people get hurt, unfortunately, you know, and they're out 6 months. So you have to change directions and you have to overcome these things, and to take something and to better it, you know, it's not an easy task. And then you have a budget and you have so many other people you have to answer to, and, you know, and then you know the TV deals and this. I got people calling me, like the wrestlers, like, hey, Scott hasn't returned my call. I'm like, he doesn't even return my calls, you know. But one time I got a call from him, you know, and he's yelling at me. I'm like, why are you yelling at me? He's like, because we're friends and I can't. I'm like,
you're like, thanks.
Yeah, and maybe I don't want to be your friend anymore, you know. But it was something that I did that wasn't right on the show. Like, it was a promo. He goes, you should be more mad and this and that. But I learned, you know, and then I passed that knowledge on since then to other people, you know, and that's why I always tell people, you never stop learning. So in the wrestling business. So because when you think you know it all, that's when you stop learning and you should just give it up, you know. So but he's done such a great job, and to continue to grow, it's, you know, it's exciting to see what's around the corner, too. You know,
it really is.
Yeah. Plus he's put together a great team behind the scenes, you know, so it's just, you know, you gotta, and, you know, and it's, and I try to explain to guys that he's not calling you back because he doesn't want to call you back. It's like, he's got to deal with everything else on top of that, you know, to you know, editing, to this, to that. He's got to make sure that wheel stays together so it keeps rolling down the road. You know,
working relationships with all these other promotions as well. That was one of the things that, you know,
Yeah, I mean, that's another great thing with AEW. And then, you know, you got Honor No More coming in, the guys from Ring of Honor, and setting that up, and then making sure people, you know, are happy. And you know, and when he calls guys, you know, say, okay, well, this is my budget. You know, we know you're worth a lot more. And these guys are coming here because they believe in Scott and his vision. You know, so it's just, you know, a lot of these guys could sit there and go, oh, I deserve more money. And you probably do. But when you have a budget, you know. So, and that's another thing having Scott, because he's developed so many great relationships with the talent over the years, that they're willing to come in for, you know, a fraction of the pay just because of the vision. And you're allowed to go out and work with some independent groups, because when you're out there, you can find that next talent that could be The Rock. Or when you look in the locker room, you have the talent to pick out someone in the locker room and say, hey, they're going to be the next Stone Cold, or, you know, Randy Orton, you know, so.
Exactly. And since we touched on the subject of Honor No More, you know, we've seen the Ring of Honor World Championship and the Women's World Championship for Ring of Honor defended on Impact Wrestling Television. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, this, or the incorporation of Honor No More into Impact Wrestling and the storyline surrounding all of that. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel too good when they're punching me in my face. Or hitting me with kendo sticks, or whatever it may be. But, you know, some of these guys, like the first match Vinny had in Ring of Honor was with me. And, you know, and watching Taven and Kenny King and all these guys grow from, because I was there in the early teens, you know, like 2000 for 2.5 years. And, you know, watching these guys come and they grow and, you know, main eventers and champions. And then to have them part of the part of the locker room, you know, when they're not hitting me, you know, put it this way, speaking as a fan, it's great to have them part of that locker room, because they bring nothing but intensity, and they bring nothing but positive things to the locker room. So, or to the overall product, I should say.
Exactly. Exactly. And given that you're somebody that has, you know, worked with multiple promotions and all of that, how important do you think it is for, you know, let me rephrase that. How important do you think it is to have these working relationships with these different promotions and, like, I, you know, the Forbidden Door and all of that? Do you think it keeps wrestling healthy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For the wrestling fans, I think it's very important. I understand why WWE don't do it. Maybe they'll do it here and there, you know, on a small scale. Like Mickey James was in the Royal Rumble and stuff like that. And that's great. But it, you know, and a lot of wrestling fans, it's not as easy as it may think. Cause like we were talking about Scott earlier, how he does so much that we don't even know, you know? So like, I think with, TV contracts, with, sponsors and all that other stuff that WWE has, you know, on board, they don't have the ability, kind of like we have the ability. Sometimes when you're ascending, you know, it's easier to get things done, but when you're on top, it's harder for you to do cross promotions and stuff like that. So, you know, because these contracts are very detailed on what you can and can't do. So, but I think that's a great opportunity for like us, AEW, and now that AEW purchased Ring of Honor, you know, it's great for the wrestling fan, and New Japan and Noah and all these things can happen, you know, and it's great for the wrestling fan. And it's great to be part of that in the locker room, that, you know, because sometimes you could work with guys you would have never worked with unless you're, you know, an Impact and, you know, cross promoting and stuff. So.
And I do want to take a second to talk about that locker room, because, you know, we mentioned earlier that, you know, you were lucky enough to have your contract expire with WWE. But recently we've been seeing a lot of mass releases, and there's been a lot of guys that have now, you know, gone to Impact Wrestling, just to name a few that, you know, have really gotten an opportunity to reinvent themselves. You know, Heath, Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, W. Morrissey, Steve Macklin, who just, you know, turned on you. But regardless,
I laugh because it seems like if I walk into a room and there's a kendo stick there, chances are I'm going to get hit with it. So I might just walk out, you know. So
you're like, that's a warning sign now. Yeah, get out of the room.
Yeah, well, you can. Yeah.
But with those, you know, those are the names that are, you know, some of the names that, you know, are mentioning here. In terms of like these guys got a second opportunity here at Impact Wrestling to like either A, reinvent themselves or kind of really show the world what they can do. How has it been like for you seeing those guys that like, you know, you formerly worked with kind of get, you know, get this real opportunity in Impact Wrestling and, you know, take the ball and actually run with it?
Right. You know, sometimes, you know, like you spoke about the mass releases, you know, sometimes it's better for the talent because if they're not being used, sometimes you can spin your wheel in the mud. And, you know, I'm a religious person. I believe in God. And sometimes you're put on a path you don't understand at the moment. And I tell the men and women, you know, it's like, okay, it's okay to be upset, but for about 30 minutes and then figure out where you want to go, figure out how. Sometimes you have to rebuild, but sometimes you need to take a step back to take two steps forward. So always keep that in mind and know your value, but don't overprice yourself, you know, because if wrestling and Vince even said it back in a meeting in 2003, we'd have meetings before SmackDown. And he said, sometimes you're not meant to be here at a certain time. So sometimes you have to leave to reinvent yourself, to either recreate yourself or, you know, or maybe a year or two down the road, that's the time you're meant to be in WWE. And some guys, maybe it wasn't time to be an Impact. And maybe now the time is to be an Impact because this is my second time here, you know. So you never know. But the thing is you got to take every opportunity you have before you and make the best of it. You know, and sometimes guys and girls will go over to Japan and they'll learn more, you know, because if you're not out there perfecting your craft, because if you're sitting at home, you're not perfecting your craft, you're not passing on your knowledge, you know, and then what good are you? You know, I'd rather go someplace where I can, you know, pass on my knowledge, you know, maybe some things not to do and maybe some things to do, you know, but at least you learn one. If you learn one thing, then it wasn't a waste of time.
You know. And speaking of passing on that knowledge, you know, the Impact Wrestling is full of, you know, a lot of young guys on the roster. You know, you have your Ace Austins, you know, right. you got your Chris Bays and so many other people that I can mention right now. Right. How has it been like, not just to, you know, maybe give those guys advice, but how have they sort of reinvigorated you as a performer and, you know, surrounding yourself with them?
You know, you just watch them and it just brings you back in as a fan too, you know, because I was watching the Monday Night Roars, even Monday Night Wars, even though I was in the wrestling business, I was watching and studying it. And you've seen how the Monday Night Wars and the fans were no longer afraid to wear their wrestling t-shirts out. You know, you had Austin 316 t-shirts all over the place, radio stations talking about it, even when they didn't even watch it, because it was such a buzz. You know, so you're still, you're caught up as a fan, but I would watch it and study it. And then when I watch, you know, like Chris Bay go out there and wrestle and, you know, your Chris Sabins, I've always been a fan, you know, your Alex Shelley's, you know, and watch them have such a great match, you know, guys like even Eric Young, you know, when he goes out there and he wrestles and stuff. And then you see these, you know, guys get in the ring and even girls and you're like, you know, you're like, wow, they, you know, you're drawn into it, you know, and if you're drawn into it, you know, the wrestling fans are drawn into it. So that's how, and you want to, and it kind of gets you up for your match too. So I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I want to go out there and wrestle now, you know, so.
It gets you pumped up that you get to have that opportunity and go out there and experience, you know, what they're experiencing and all of that.
Right.
That's really great. So Rhino, I do have one final question for you before we go ahead and, you know, move on to our final portion of the interview. And that is, I know with 27 years in the business, you've seen and done it all, but what is there, something that you still want to do or, you know, something that you want to accomplish in your wrestling career?
Well, I hopefully, God willing, I can have 5 more years in the wrestling business. I want to, you know, slowly taper off, you know, and then move more to the behind the scenes as a producer and stuff. You know, so that's the thing. And as you know, a compass will always tell you due north, but it doesn't tell you the hills and valleys and lakes and ponds and all that. So you have to go around it. So my goal is 5 years and then slowly and then work, you know, go around the hills and valleys and stuff and get to that point. you know, and along the way, work with people and try to help boost their careers and help get them on the journey or the path, you know, that they're supposed to take. So, yeah.
That is incredible. First of all, congratulations to 27 years in wrestling and for everything that you have given to the fans and more. You know, as somebody, I'll just thank you right off the bat for that. We are going to go ahead and transition into our second portion of the interview, which is the lightning round, where I'm going to ask you 10 random questions and you just answer them however you please. So here we go. Question number one, besides yourself, who has the best spear in wrestling?
I'd say Roman Reigns.
Nice. Question number two. Or Edge. Yeah, it's a good one too. Question number two. Who's been the best and worst person to take the gore?
Oh, geez. The best one. Here's another thing. If there's an independent show near you or not too far from you and you're on the fence of going, go. Because it was up in Cadillac, Michigan, a wrestler by the name of Game Boy. And there's video out there. If you can find it, YouTube, Rhino Gore's Game Boy. It is, and then I would say the second one would be The Rock. Yeah. So, nice. I mean, there's been so many people, but the worst would probably be Sandman. I'd have to bring it though, but he would end up, he was the worst at taking the pile drivers off the ring apron, but probably the worst. I don't think they have a choice, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you're going down.
Right. So,
question number three: who came up with the Rhino name, and did you like it from the start?
Well, there's been a lot of people to take credit for it, but I would have to say Reckless Youth, because he told we're all in Detroit and the lights were out, but D'Lo actually came over and told me, you know, and then I end up using it at Al Snow's. But Reckless was the first one, and he was out from this area of Philly and stuff. I'm actually in Philly right now doing a media day, getting ready for the taping. So, but but I still live in Michigan, so south of Detroit. So I would say Reckless Youth. So,
question number four: who's your favorite person to travel with?
You know what? Believe it or not. There's this wrestler, he trained at Scott's school. His name's Nate Bach. And he's 27. He's really good in the ring. At first he was, you know, I would just pull my hair out, you know. It's like, geez, you know, like I own a marina in Michigan. So that's what I do when I'm not wrestling. I own and operate and manage. And so, like, he'd help me out and I would, you know, give him knowledge. I would tell him, you know, road stories, this or that, or, you know, and sometimes people are set on a gimmick. It's just like, let things come natural. You know, you got to get on the road. You got to work. So I took him under my wing, and like, sometimes like he would question me, right? I'm like, why are you questioning me? And then I would tell him how I would travel with Sabu and I wouldn't say a word. He would just talk and tell stories and business and how ECW ran and what he learned from his uncle, the Sheik, you know, and I just listen. I go, I never question him, you know, and he goes, well, I'm not questioning. I go, sure you are. He goes, and it wasn't about wrestling. Like, for example, if I go, hey, can you help me change over these dock poles? I'm like, okay, we'll put them in and then we'll drill the holes. He's like, why don't you drill the holes first? Well, we still got to pound them in. Well, why don't we just pound? I'm like, you're worse than like my own kid. Like, I feel like he's my kid at times. It's like, why are you questioning me? Let's just pound the poles in, drill the holes, and then put the bolts in. We're done. Well, if you eyeball it, well, how do you know we can pound them in the muck that far? You know, like, why are you like, let's just get this done. And, you know, you go to the gym and I'll, you know, finish doing stuff and then I'll go to the gym, whatever. Like, just, so he quit questioning me. So, but he's fun to travel with because he's coming into his own. And, you know, and with wrestling, there's do's and don'ts, you know. First, you don't want to be annoying because you're not going to stay in the locker room long. Yeah. Two, you got to learn how to, the business part of wrestling too, you know, and you got to learn how to stick up for yourself. A lot of these things I learned from Sabu. So I try to pass on that knowledge too. So he's really graduated. So, but the first 6 to 8 months was, you know, I'm pulling out my hair. I'm like, do I really need help around the marina or should I just pay for the help? Because it'd be a lot less stressful on my life, you know. So
that is so awesome. I like how it like blossomed.
Right. But sometimes I'd mess with them. I'd purposely tell him not to do something, you know, like in wrestling.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah, yeah. And then when we're on the road and he'd have a match, I'm like, why didn't you do this? And then you could see his mind going like, he did tell me not to do that, but now he's telling me to do that. But I'd have a serious look. I'm like, and then he's like, are you messing with me? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you told me not to do that. I go, I did not, you know, knowing I did. So then I'd start laughing and I'm like, yeah, yeah, you did it the right way, you know? But I also tell him, I go out there and you do it, you know, and if you make a mistake, you know, I'll correct you, because you have to make mistakes. It's part of learning, you know? So, and then, you know, so that's another thing I teach students and people I try to mentor and help out, you know? So it's okay to make mistakes. You know, you just learn from them.
All good lessons. Yeah. Question number 5, what's your guilty pleasure snack?
Oh, geez. You know, I'd probably say ice cream or pizza. You know, I try to eat clean. I try not to eat fried stuff, you know, so I'd probably say a Moose Tracks ice cream.
Question number 6, craziest story you can tell us about the original ECW on air. I had to add the on air part.
You know what, believe it or not, I was married and Sabu, I traveled with, he was married, and we really didn't do much, but there, you know, some people did partake in taking prescription drugs or something, and I know that's not nothing to laugh about, but I'd have to carry people out of restaurants sometimes, yeah, because I was the biggest guy, and it's like, all right, one on one shoulder dragging the other one behind. So but those people are still with us today, and you know, but a crazy story is you know, because this is in WWE, you know, a lot of times we'd rent minivans, you know, and the minivans would come with tinted windows, right? You don't look too tough driving a minivan, but when you see 3 or 4 big dudes get out of a minivan, you know, like say if you go to take a parking spot or you accidentally cut someone off, because a lot of us, we wouldn't, you know, go around bullying people, you know, and they drive by, you know, flip you off, and you just happen to get out at the same place and they're like, oh shit.
Like, you're like, probably,
oh boy, we didn't see, yeah, we didn't see all those big dudes. We just, yeah, we just see some tinted windows, and it's like, you know, we're not going to do anything, you know, but yeah, it was pretty funny, you know, because you just think, soccer moms, you know, people give minivans a bad name, but they're great to travel in. You just throw all your luggage, you got enough room to, you know, spread out. I mean, you got some guys that are, I'm 6 foot, but you got some guys that are, you know, 350, 6'4", 6'5", you know, so they need some leg room.
That's so funny. Question number 7, is there someone you never got to wrestle that you always wanted to?
You know what, I've been in the ring with guys like Ric Flair to The Rock. You know, I've just been blessed to be in there with so many people. I just, I wouldn't mind wrestling Kevin Owens. For some reason, his name popped up. I don't know if it's because I'm in Philly, you know, and I don't know why, you know, just, you know, maybe a match at the arena, you know, Kevin Owens and I.
You know, that so would be fantastic.
I want to try it for 5 more years. So, you know, maybe that'll be towards the end. So.
Question number 8, what's the most significant piece of memorabilia that you own?
You know what, I think that's what I'm going to regret. I didn't collect things along the way. I've got a lot of, I have a lot of my outfits still, like from ECW. I did sell some to some collectors and stuff, you know, because it mean more to them. I've given a couple away to friends and stuff. But but yeah, it's just, I wish I would have gotten into that more. I do love boats and old wooden boats, and I'm a big history fan, you know. I always tell people, you know, ideas are peaceful, history is violent, you know, and unfortunately, and that's why history is so important to learn, so we don't make the same mistakes. But you know, when I see an old wooden boat, when I was a kid, I fell in love with this boat. It was a lineman, and I had a paper route. We didn't have money growing up as kids, but my dad was always into boating. He said, we can have an old boat, you know, where we can go out and spend time on the summer, or we can go on vacation. And we're all like, let's have the boat, you know, or post a 1 week vacation, you know. So that's, as a family, that's what we did. And I fell in love with this old wooden lineman boat. And I did the math. I had a paper route. I was 12 years old. And I'm like, no way I can swing it, because I would have had to borrow money from my grandma, right? And I'm like, no way. I did all the math and stuff. And so I now, as the years keep on going by, these boats are, you know, finding their way to the burn pile. And I've been redoing some of them. And, you know, it's a passion. But if you can, these boats are becoming more, they're becoming rarer and rarer as the years go on, because Mother Nature isn't kind to them sitting out in the back. So I think that as far as a piece of something history that I can own, it's not memorabilia, but that's the only thing I have, you know, is passionate about. So
that's really cool. Honestly, that's really cool. Question number nine, what's the biggest thing you learned from working with Paul Heyman?
There's so much, you know, I learned so much from him. I think just to really tell that story and give it time, you know, I think is very important, because sometimes in wrestling we rush things, you know, and it's meant in the right way. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you rush things too much, and, you know, and sometimes fans go, oh, let's hurry up with this, you know, and on to the next. But then again, they're like, oh, wow, they missed the boat on this, this, and this, you know, so. Got to try to find that happy, you know,
happy balance. Yeah. And last question, question number 10, is the rhino your favorite animal? And if not, what is your favorite animal?
Well, I have to say yes, but I like the giraffe. Here's yes. another thing, seeing that a boater, everybody, they find it very strange that I don't go fishing. You know, so as a boater in Lake Erie, it's a lot of good fishing from perch to walleye. Sorry about the background.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
But I don't have the heart to take the, I could sport fish, you know, hook it, you know, unhook it, throw it back in, you know, but to fish and to, you know, I in my mind, the fish at the store that I eat just came from a farm that had no life behind it, you know. That's what I tell myself, but I can't see the little fish just, you know, making his little fish mouth and looking at me going, what are you, you know, throw me back in.
What are you doing?
Know?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't have the heart to do that, you know, so. Usually with insects, I take them and throw them outside in toilet paper. Sometimes I'm okay to flush them, you know, but I try not to, you know, kill the insects that are inside your house crawling across the floor, you know. Your wife That's or girlfriend cool. screaming, get it.
Yeah. I'm yeah. like, just kill it. I don't care. Right. I just right. kill it.
Save the fish, kill the insects. Yeah.
So. That is awesome. Well, Rhino, I want to thank you so much for doing this interview with me. It was so much fun to really get to know you and chat with you on this momentous day. Before yes. we go, please feel free to plug in anything you'd like to plug in.
Nothing really, you know, just Impact Wrestling. That's where you can find me, you know, and then just, the shows, you know, definitely the now that things are opening up and you can go to the shows. And, you know, we run shows in Monroe, Michigan, my buddy and I, IWR, Insane Wrestling Revolution. And we tell fans, like, you know, we don't have a mask mandate, you know, and for the size of the crowd. But if you feel like wearing a mask, go ahead and wear the mask, you know. And I'll even wear a mask when I'm out meet and greet, just so. You know, if people are afraid to wear it because they want to wear one, but they want to go to the show, but they might think someone will judge them, you know, then they can say, oh, Rhino's wearing one, so I'm going to wear one, you know. So even if you're hesitant to come on go to the shows, have fun. If you want to wear a mask, don't. But the main thing is go have fun and know you're going to be part of history. So.
Well said. Well, guys, I hope you really enjoyed this conversation with myself and Rhino. And do not forget to check out Impact Wrestling Rebellion on April 23rd. I am going to go ahead and post the links to all of that in the description box below. But until next time, I'm Denise Salcedo. This is Rhino. We'll see you guys later. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.